6. Not until then had Johnny thought about what was going to happen to himself. He had a feeling that it didn't really matter. He knew his head was staved in. He had lost an awful lot of blood. But he ought to make a gesture, some rudimentary effort, just to say he had. Say it to whom? He was out of radio contact. The drone was wave-neutralized to any screen. There was not the slightest chance of the drone being seen visually in this storm. Down under him would be sea, or an even less friendly mountainside, if the blast disabled his plane. Battle planes were pretty well armored, but firing his own guns in an enclosed space, plus the mines, plus the fuel of the drone, was going to make a pretty big bang. His jet backpacks were gone. He rummaged about in the back of the plane. He remembered not to lean forward. That's what blacked him out. A brief moment of hope. A life raft. He pulled it out. The automatic inflation cartridges were long since duds. It had a little manual pump. He started to pump it up. Orange-colored, some tinsel on it. Then he realized he was being stupid. If he inflated it, he couldn't get it back in the plane. He knew the plane would sink. He wouldn't be able to get it out. The wind was tugging at the half-inflated raft. A wave of blackness came over him, and the door draft casually flicked it out of his hands. It went away into the storm. Gone. It had all been a waste of time. He got into the plane. He had some blankets. He had been hurt in the earlier crash. The map case had not been enough. So he padded his knees and the windscreen with blankets. He realized he had not checked for loose objects. They were deadly. He took the blankets away and looked in the rear of the plane behind him. Littered. A backward jolt of the plane would have made them into projectiles. Wearily, he got out and began to chuck things out through the door. Clip after clip of assault rifle ammunition. A shovel, whatever that was doing here. A sample pick. Odds and ends. He snugged down the cable ladder and ornate equipment of the plane. He put the food bag and his own pouch under the seat. More nauseated than ever, he got back in the seat and restored the blanket cushions. He wrapped the oversized security belts around him twice and up so they would keep his head from snapping forward. All set. He reached out for the gun controls and put them on full barrage, flame, and ready. They were aimed at the box of blasting caps. Was the drone tilting, or was he just dizzy? He couldn't tell with his dazed senses. He looked at the climb indicator of the plane. Yes, the drone was tilting, the door behind him lower now. Something had upset the coordinates. The magnetic fields of the limpet mines? But whatever it was trying to correct, it was pointing its door down. That meant if he shot backward and fired, he would be shooting himself toward the sea or the mountains. He better not delay. He kicked off the magnetic grips. The plane started to slide backward to the door. Hastily, he hit his starter buttons. The plane was sliding backward faster. He slammed his fist into the gun firing button. The battle plane fired full blast. But the result was far more than just gun recoil. Before his eyes, the whole interior of the drone flashed a violent orange and green. The battle plane was catapulted backward into space like a projectile. The shock of sudden motion almost tore his head apart. He could still see, still register. The drone looked like an old rocket missile must have looked. It was soaring upward as though the door was the jet. Johnny's hands fumbled over the battle plane console. He punched in coordinates to arrest his backward descent. With a jolt, the plane slowed its rocketing downward plunge. But something else was happening. There was no response from the right balance motor. In a slow roll, the plane began to rotate in the sky. The roll became faster. The left balance motor could not hold it by itself. Johnny frantically battered the console keys. The plane was now cartwheeling through the storm. 7. Badly shaken and feeling very ill, Johnny tried to control the plane. There was a thin spot in the storm. It was extremely hard to think. If he shut off the left balance motor, maybe the stricken ship would stop rolling. He managed it. Then he realized the guns must still be firing. He got a wad of blanket out of his vision and reached up to push the firing button off. And as he did, he saw it. The drone. Almost straight at him, it was tumbling out of the sky. Spent flames were licking out of the doorway, and a vast plume of smoke was trailing behind it. It was going to hit him if he didn't move. His hands hit the console. He felt the plane move. The drone went by so close, the plane tumbled again in the air rush. Abruptly, a geyser of water smashed upward into the storm, a column 200 feet high. The battle plane spun about under the new impact. Water? Water! Johnny felt a surge of relief. They were not yet over Scotland, still over the sea. Water. He would hit it. He knew that pressure outside the doors would keep him from opening them. This battle plane would never float. He brought a fist down on the window openers, both of them. He looked at the console. What could he press to arrest his own descent? The battle plane crashed into the sea. The jolt threw him back into unconsciousness, but in a moment, a wave of the coldest water he had ever felt rushed in on him, revived him. Bitterly cold water. Colder than ice to the touch. And it was hitting him in a roaring torrent from both sides. He fought with the huge 10-pound cyclo belt release. Everything seemed to be moving in slow motion. He unwound the belt from himself. The water was getting darker. The battle plane must be sinking very rapidly. Or he was passing out once more. The incoming rush eased. At least the plane was no longer spinning. He thought vacantly. A sudden surge of energy. He got to his knees on the seat and thrust a floating blanket out of his way. The futility of it struck him. There was nobody to save him. He couldn't live in water this cold. More by reflex than by intention, he went out the window and began to rise to the surface. His air mask tanks were lifting him. Water was getting in the air mask, washing dried blood off the inside glass. The sea became lighter and lighter green. Then a spatter of rain hit his head. Rain. It was welcome. The sea about him, as he floated face up, was a panorama of tossing, overwhelming waves, pockmarked with the rain. A wild scene. The cold was getting to the very center of his being. He knew he was going into a delusion again. As the waves covered and uncovered his ears, he thought he heard a voice. They said dying men often heard angel voices calling them. He knew he was very close to death. More delusion. Hopeful thinking gave rise to false sights. It was what he would have dearly loved to see, not what was. But the water-blurred vision stayed there. Something hit him in the face mask. A line? He became more alert. It looked like Dunnell Dean on a cable ladder not 4 feet away. A Dunnell Dean who was being submerged and uncovered by the waves. Johnny felt his arms being guided into safety line loops. Tension was being taken up on the line. His ears came free of the water, and he could hear. It was Dunnell Dean. A Dunnell Dean who was smiling, even though he was being doused repeatedly as the waves rolled past the cable ladder.
"Come on now, laddie," Dunnell Dean said. "Just hold on, and they'll pull you up to the plane. 'Tis a wee bit cold for a swim."